participate in the show, and you're certainly welcome to do that anytime you want. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, and it's a car show. You tell us about what kind of car you have, what kind of problems you have. You can tell us that you and your husband are arguing about what kind of gas is best for your car. You can we solve good arguments between mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and all that. And I have two people here that I've known for 472 years. I got Craig Bell sitting next to me. Craig's a second generation shop owner, and his father, who was named Carol Bell, and his mother Elaine started in the 60s, I'm pretty sure.
Actually, no, we started 74.
Okay.
But my grandfather had a gas station corner of prime location, Scottsdale Road and Camelback.
Okay.
And I used to play in the canal as a kid, so that was my first. So that would be actually be third generation now.
Okay, now, which corner of Scottsdale and Camelback?
Whatever was, northeast corner.
Northeast, okay.
And then he moved up to Payson and had a Shell station up there for quite a while that I hung out at as a kid. So.
Okay, now where was that in Payson?
Well, you know where the brand new Dutch Brothers Coffee is?
Yes.
That was where it is.
Okay. I know exactly where that's at.
That was a lot for 20 years. Nobody built on it.
All right, now there's a lady sitting over there.
Oh.
Is this your girlfriend or your wife? Tell me real quick before I make a mistake.
No, that's my
okay.
wife.
Okay, Vicki.
Hi, how are you?
Is it your job to keep track of them?
I try, but it's a hard job to do.
It's So both of you work at the shop.
Correct.
Yes.
And Vicki, tell me, I'm going to ask you two questions. What do you do and what does he do? And you can switch those up, but before you do that, 602-508-0960 if you have a car question. 602-508-0960. You're more than welcome to join us. There's three people here, and we have probably a good 50-plus years between us in the car repair industry, so we should be able to help you out. But anyway, what does you do and what does he do?
Well, I mostly work in the front office. I try to meet as many people as I can up there. I love to talk to people, especially, just people who are uncomfortable coming into an auto repair shop. So we'll sit and chat for a while. The other part of the question is I try to keep, we have five of us at the shop, including me. I feel like I have three work husbands and one work son, based on the age, just the relationships that you build with people. And they stay there. They work with us. We work together. We don't try to be boss-employee kind of stuff. We all work together as a team, and it works well.
Okay, so how many years does Craig claim to have been in the car repair business?
Oh.
Since I started with my parents in 1974.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
He was 14 when he started with them.
And have you been married that long?
We met 2 years later when we were 16, so okay. I'm not too far behind.
Okay, and you've been with him. But you were with your parents for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
How many years was that?
Oh.
Still.
Yeah.
Still to some extent. But yeah.
47, 46, 45.
Yeah, 46. 40,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, 47.
And then two of you have worked together pretty much that whole time?
Most of the time, yeah.
Okay. And you say most of the time, is that when he was in jail or you had been fired?
When our kids were younger, our son was special needs, so he required or he just needed me a little bit more at home. So, I took care of him a lot. And then, once he passed last year, then I could be much more involved in the business.
Okay. And it's the same way with Renee and I. We have kind of defined... this is Mark Salem's viewpoint. If you need a hug, she's going to give it to you. If you need your ass chewed, I'm going to. I'll be there.
Yeah. That's exactly.
Okay.
I go out there and tell them what to do, and then she goes back out there and tells them, "Well, we could do it this way, but whatever you think we could get the best possible outcome."
I'm more nurturing than he is, let's put it that way.
So you're hugging?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if there's a personal problem, I never see that part of it. It's always her.
Until it gets really big.
Yeah.
Until the ex-wife shows up with her attorney in the lobby and wants to talk to a technician.
Yeah. Well, it's intuition. You sense that something's going on with somebody, and I'll try to talk to him, and sure enough, there's something going on, so... It helps to know the personal things because it does affect your work.
And it's the same way now. Andy's running it. My daughter is running it. And Renee and I were wondering what kind of pressure it would be for her to be a female. But in reality, it's been a seamless transition. I think the guys just understand, And let me do it this way. Craig, the guys at the shop know that she's not one to be messing with.
Yeah, I think so. Well, and she, they'll, like I said, they'll talk to her as, you know, almost like a mother-son kind of thing sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, because they feel more comfortable talking to her. Cause, and so that works out really well for us. But she does know that if push comes to shove, she's going to make the decision. So,
and that's what bugs me the most is somebody has to make a decision, and it's always mine.
Yeah.
And so nobody on the entire staircase had decided to say, you know what, it's time to cut bait, or it's time to do this or do that or whatever. Parts. You having trouble getting parts for the cars?
Yes. We have a Saturn in there right now that we've been working with.
A 1998 Saturn. Yeah. Try finding parts for that.
But we've been working with the state now with a program called the VVR, which is the state will pay up to $550 to fix your emissions.
And there's some parameters there.
Yeah. Actually, it doesn't go off of how much you make or where you live. It's all about the car.
Okay, now, so. But there's certain years.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
12 years and older.
12 years and older.
Which is an adjusting scale as the years go up, yeah.
It moves every year. So if you have a 12-year older car and it fails emissions, those are ones that we're really pretty good at fixing.
Yeah, anyway. Right, yeah.
And so this, under certain conditions, the state will assist financially in the repair.
Yes, yes.
But you still have to come to the party with some of your own money.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
150, you have to pay the first 150.
Okay.
And then they'll pay up to 550 after that. So you're looking at about $700. And sometimes we're way under, you know, a little hose or a spark plug, you know, something easy. Or you get two catalytic converter, you know, or two catalytic converters, you know, and then after 700, they're responsible
for that.
For that.
Anything above that.
Yeah. Which is nice. I mean, because where else are you going to get $550 for free?
Yeah.
To fix your car.
Exactly.
So it works.
Yeah, there
really
is
well.
There is a list of authorized auto repair shops. So, and they give you a list when you leave the emission station.
In those kind of cars.
Correct.
And the cars that are 12 plus.
Yes.
Now, I should probably mention Bell Automotive is at 87th and McDowell. Yeah. So it's really the 101 just west of the
we're just off the 101-202 exchange.
Okay.
You'd be on the northwest corner of the 101-202 in Scottsdale.
And that, and your family's been there how long?
Well, we've 40 since 74. So
74. 40. So that's when your mom and dad opened up the gas station there.
Gas station, so literally one block north of there, or west of there. And then when Shell moved out in the 80s.
Okay.
We went one block down, bought that property as a gas station, tried to run a gas station for a few years, but we're overpowered by the big three, you know, fuel, Shell and Chevron. So we closed down the pumps and continued auto repair and have been doing it ever since.
Okay. All right. That, I think your family is certainly in one of the top three families in Scottsdale that has been in this business for a very long time. Bill Bridwell's boys are still running his store, but Harry Martin. He's out.
Yeah.
Jim
Winters.
Winters.
His place is still open and run by Johnny, but it's not one of his kids. But Jim kind of, you know, he's the landowner, and I think Johnny's bought the business from Jim, but.
Okay, and then Jim Atkinson is the son of his dad who started that shop.
Yeah.
So there's lots of second and third generation shops in Scottsdale, specifically from Indian Bend South.
Yeah.
I think it's mostly the South Scottsdale area.
Yeah.
You know, the established vintage kind of area.
And then Whitey's son was doing for a while, and they have just sold to one of their longtime mechanic or technicians. So
Whitey and his son sold?
Whitey still owns, I don't know the parameters of that, but I know that just recently, Mark just bought, from Whitey the business.
Okay.
So.
Now, his son's name?
Scott.
Scott. Is he going to stay?
I don't know the terms of that one. So,
okay. Yeah, fair enough. Well, Scott, Whitey and I have been friends since the 60s and the 70s, but those were the old gas station guys.
Yeah.
And so we were all brought up on points and condensers, and emissions had nothing to do with anything. If the car was stinking, who cared, you know? And then in 76, I think it was, when we start seeing catalytic converters, we were all scared to death. Then when they took the points out of the distributor, we were scared to death. Then they put a mixture control solenoid on the carburetor, and we were scared to death.
Put a computer on the car.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden.
And then now all of a sudden we understand the car perfectly. We understand. And today we're at the point where we can actually lie to the computer. We figured out how to give this a signal to the computer that isn't the truth, that enhances the ability of the car to run.
Right.
So those are all the things. But you're right. You talk Scottsdale and Thomas is kind of the central area.
Yes.
You go about a 2 mile radius around Scottsdale and Thomas, mm-hmm. and that's where all the old dogs are at.
Yeah.
Who else were we missing?
Vincent.
Mike Vincent.
Yeah, Mike Vincent.
And he's in the second generation.
Yep,
you guys are in the second generation.
Yeah.
Whitey was in the second generation.
Yeah, we work real well with all of them. You know, Craig does well on the carburetors, the diagnostics, the electrical. You know, Mike mm-hmm. does real well with the imports, Europeans.
I send all my European emissions to Vincent, so mm-hmm.
yeah.
and he sends all his classic and carburetors to me, so...
And see, that's what's nice about this, is it's that way around a lot
right.
of places. I remember one of the stories that I tell that it was a terrible story.
1 minute.
I had this Ford that we did a V8 Ford. We did a water pump on. And after that, it started overheating. But it only overheated on the freeway. And so we didn't know what happened. And we ended up doing head gaskets two or three times. We did this. We did that. We did this. We did that. And we couldn't get this thing to stop. But Al Kitts... down on Baseline Road had been around him and his brother Alvin. So I drove it over there, and I had bought brake pads from him before. So I told him what it was, and he rolled his eyes, and he walks over, and he lifts the hood, and there is a ported vacuum switch on the front of the intake manifold that you have to take off to do the water pump. And there are three vacuum lines, and the distributor's the middle, and then ported vacuum and all the time vacuum. And we had switched those, which means it didn't advance the timing. Now, this is after we did $3,000 worth of work to this motor trying to fix it. And that son of a gun just went, switched those three lines. He slammed the hood. He goes, there you go, son.
That's experience.
Oh, God almighty. And if there's anybody that is that wants any... the Kitts, Al Kitts and his brother Alvin, those guys helped me. Bob Stewart helped me. There was a lot of guys in Tempe, like your South Scottsdale group, that were guys that gave us a lot. Ken Vivian, I mean, he had a gas station in 68 when he first hired me. So there was a lot of that kind of stuff that went on. 602-508-0960. You've got about, between the two of us, we got about... how many years you got?
I got 40 plus.
Okay, and I'm
45.
40.
Yeah. So.
I go back to 68, but I've been an owner for 40. So we got 80 years of experience between the two of us. We ought to be able to help you with your car problem. 602-508-0960. As we move on, we're going to take calls first, but before I do that, I want to talk about Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Since 1970, the Thompsons have been in business, and that's Brian and Thelma, in Mesa. They're on Main Street just east of Stapley. I've known the Thompson and the Vivian family since the 60s because the Thompsons and the Vivians were the ones that really kind of dominated the gas station, and now you have Brian and you have Thelma from those two families, the Thompsons and the Vivians. And the fact of the matter is those kids have been around. I call them kids, but I don't really mean to call them kids, but they're really kids. Nevertheless, if you're in Mesa, the only shop I can recommend, and I'm sorry I can't find another one, but the only shop I can recommend is Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Kevin, good morning. How can we help you this morning?
Hey, good morning. I have a 2017 Chevy Tahoe that when it sits overnight, the battery dies, but once I charge it, jump start it and drive it around, it does charge. I took it to have it tested at AutoZone. They said that the battery tested fine, but the alternator tested bad. And then I took it to my mechanic, and he said he thought the alternator was working fine. So right now he's thinking maybe there's something electrical that's draining it overnight.
Okay. Craig and I are going to discuss this out loud.
Yeah, so draw or drain on the battery.
Well, and I hear, and this has nothing to do with this one,
right?
But I hear this Google thing all the time. That just drives me crazy. I talk to the guy. Well, Google, you don't know this, but I'm going to share this with you. The guy, the Google guy, his name is Melvin. He's a sexual predator in federal penitentiary in New Hampshire. And he answers all of those questions. And he tells everybody. Let me just, let me ask you, Craig. How much is an electrical systems check for a problem like this?
Oh, probably we start out with a half hour.
Okay, I want you to talk dollars.
Okay, so you'd be in the 50, 55,
okay,
$55.
She's, she's saying 55 to 60.
Yeah, well, okay.
All right. Now, and you're going to chime in. We're going to test the battery, and we're going to test it to see the total voltage and the load voltage and the CCAs it's capable of.
Right.
Okay? After we test the battery, then we're going to check the alternator, and the minimum voltage should be?
13 and a half.
To 15,
14,
or 15.
15 is a little tight.
Yeah. Well, and in some of the imports cars, like, I'm trying to get those.
Yeah.
Okay, so then after we've checked the alternator, then we're going to look at the alternator output, and we're going to look for, what, 10 amps when it's sitting there running and nothing happening?
Nothing happened.
And then up to 50 to 80 to 100 amps.
Put a load on it.
And we have an inductive amp probe, and we wrap a cable, and we read the numbers.
Yeah.
We're using some pretty expensive equipment to pull this off.
Right.
Then you're going to shut it off and disable the ignition system. And what kind of voltage and amperage would you see on a dead crank when you're cranking it over?
Oh, dead, probably 300, 400.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. 200 or 300, 400.
Small, or engine size. Depends.
Yep, yeah. Depending on that. So. And that's the amps, but the battery voltage should not drop below 9.6.
Yeah, 9.6. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, and then after that, we'll use the inductive amp probe, and we'll wrap both cables off of one side of the battery or not, and we're going to open the door, and we better see a tenth of an amp or a 20th of an amp. But if we see much bigger, then the first thing we're going to do is disconnect the alternator to see if the rectifier or the alternator's got a short. Or we can go in and start looping the fuses and the different leads that go into to find out which circuit it's in. $60.
Right.
Okay. There's no way that the guy at AutoZone, no matter how much fuzz he has on his chin, is going to be able to tell you whether your battery's good without charging it, because you can't test a dead battery.
Right, correct.
And number two, the fact that you say that you jump it and you get it running and it lasts all day long would certainly suggest that the alternator's doing something.
Fine, yeah.
So I think that the thing to do is just pay somebody to have them do an electrical systems test. And then, and now here, Craig, let me ask you this. In Vic 2, when you do this, I'm gonna bracket the industry.
Sure.
I'm gonna say 45 to 65.
Okay.
Because everybody's gonna be in that area. When you bracket that, how often do you fix it when you're doing the test?
Oh, so many times.
Yes.
I was just gonna talk to you because
once you find it, you fix it. It's right there.
Right.
I'm just working with one of my young technicians yesterday for the exact same problem, and I was showing him how we're looking for different circuits, and we got to the point of isolating circuits.
Mm-hmm.
But I jumped ahead with him and I said, well, there's a little known experience driven thing we do first. Mm-hmm. We look in the car and see if there's any lights on.
Dome light.
And then you grab the smallest tech and you go, get in the trunk. We're going to shut the door
and
let us know.
How many times have you found the trunk light on?
That's it.
Or a glove box light.
A hood light.
Or a visor light.
Yeah.
There's so many.
Aftermarket alarm sometimes makes a draw.
Sometimes those are after we do the initial testing. That's what I tell them to go do. The quick and easy, jump in the car, make sure there's no lights on. And then we'll go from there. So.
But it's all kinds of stuff. But everybody has this idea that we're going to take the dash apart and we're going to find two wires that are touching one another. I don't know. I've never done one of those kinds of repairs. Mine have been bad alternators, bad rectifier, vac diodes, a loose alternator belt, bad battery connections. Go ahead.
Or radio installation. Did you just have something done?
Yes. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Because how many times do they tie... They tie the radio circuit into a black wire that they think is
a ground,
and it ain't a ground.
Yep.
And so the answer to your question is if you've got a piece of, first of all, do you have a voltmeter that you can use?
I have one on the way, actually. I ordered a multimeter.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So the battery should be fully charged, should be 13, and it should be
Two
there
minutes.
When you park it at night, and it should be there the next morning.
Yeah, 13, same.
And so that's typically fully charged. It could be 12.9 and it could be 13.1. It can be somewhere around there. But that's, you can do that with your voltmeter. The second thing is you keep your voltmeter on there and you should go 1 volt over the battery voltage when you start the car and bring the RPM up. So if you stick your probes in the battery and it's 13, let's say, and you start it up and it goes to 14, that's a good indication the alternator's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but I would definitely look for just simple, easy, really quick, make sure there's no lights on anywhere in the car. Make sure you didn't twist up the dash lights to all full on. There's some cars where you can hit that with your leg going into the car.
Happened after I had it aligned. Is there anything they could have done during alignment with the computer?
Well, I don't want you to go that way, and I'll tell you why. No. It is not in your best interest to open that door up. The answer to your question will be, the answer is easy once we find and fix it, but I would say that they have a 1 in 1,000 chance of an alignment causing a problem like this, unless they were going to. I would imagine that what circuit do we have on the front end that's alive with the key in your pocket where they could have pinched a wire or grounded something or, I'm just trying to kind of think. Yeah. ABS system.
ABS, but that's, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if we pinched a sensor. A wheel sensor, wheel speed sensor, or
usually that should be powered down during key off. So
you're right. Yeah. And if we did pinch it and damage a wheel sensor, we'd have a check engine or a dash light,
ABS light,
ABS light. So, yeah. How old's the battery?
It's a little over a year old.
Okay, 2-3 years is where we usually 2 to 3, and some people get 4.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to tell you, but that's the best I can do. 602-508-0960. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, Mark Salem, and I'm kind of frazzled, so you have to forgive me. But speaking of frazzled, I'm going to talk about Blackwell Auto up there at 40th and Greenway. Frazzled, Mr. Frazzled himself. Tom and I have been friends for many, many years as of Craig here sitting next to me, Craig Bell, and his father. And his father's name was Carol.
Carol, yeah. That was always fun.
I always loved that idea that he that never bothered him.
No.
Bothered him.
And we use that for telephone salesmen now.
Uh-huh.
They'll call up and ask for, is Carol there? And they are assuming that it's a woman.
Right.
And then we say, well, Carol hasn't been part of the business for 10 years, so... Where did you get this number?
Yes, And I'll do. Carol was sentenced not too long ago. She's 17 years from saying hello. Okay. Anyway, Blackwell, he's not that bad.
No.
But anyway, if you're up in the North Phoenix area, the northeast quadrant of the city up there, that North Scottsdale and Northeast 101 and all that stuff, Blackwell is the only shop I can tell you to go to because I know him and I know what he does and I know how good he is, and I just can't find other shops to hang my hat on. So if you're up in that northeast area, 40th Street and Greenway is Blackwell Automotive. Let's go to the phones, guys. Reba, ladies first. How can I help you?
Okay, so I have this 2002 Ford Focus hatchback. We have put new spark plugs, wires, fuel injectors. We put in new fuel pump. We took off the
Wait a minute, Rita. Tell us what the symptoms are first, though. Okay, tell us what you haven't fixed. What's it doing?
Okay, so when I took it out, it was supposed to have been fixed. So I took it out first spin this morning. I went up, about 20 miles, and the check engine light comes on.
Okay.
She stammers and stutters like she wants to die out. It idles really, really rough, and we did put in a new idle switch, and that didn't help either. And the engine light come on, and it stammers. The engine doesn't have any power.
Okay.
I don't know why, because we've put everything on there we can think of new.
How much have you think you've spent so far?
About $1,200.
How much?
Well, part of that was labor. Not all of that was parts.
Oh, I missed the number.
$1,200.
Holy. All right. Let me just turn it around. Craig, Vicky, you've got a car with symptoms such as this. Give me the not to exceed and not to, won't be, it'll be higher than this and lower than this for the diagnostic to track this down. Give me the range. Vicki, you go first. You're the phone.
Usually they start out with an hour of diagnostic.
Okay, we're not talking hours. We're talking money.
110.
Good enough. So 110. And are you going to get it in the first 2 hours?
Usually.
Okay. He does. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go to 220. So let's go on the short side, 1 hour, or 110, and on the top end, 220. And we're the same way. We're quoting hourly. Yeah. And I don't know why you're 110. Holy mackerel.
Because everybody likes me.
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. Reba, the problem is that you're never going to outguess the car.
Yes.
And when you talk to the young men at the auto parts stores, they're really happy to suggest stuff to them that generates tremendous sales. So I can tell you this much. I can guarantee you that the diagnostic and the repair will be less than half of what you've spent guessing. Now, I know what might happen, and your husband or somebody might say, well, it needed all that stuff anyway, and that's okay. The problem is that this kind of thing, Craig, we have fixed this kind of activity with because of a bad vacuum line. Mm-hmm. We have fixed this because of a bad crankshaft sensor, camshaft sensor, EGR valve that's stuck open.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Anything,
yeah.
There's just
fuel injectors that are, you know, partially plugged.
Exactly.
Or not closing all the way.
Not enough pressure from the pump.
Yeah. And now, she said she's had some fuel pump and stuff that they've done. So.
Yeah, but that's assuming that putting a fuel pump in doesn't necessarily change the sock.
Right.
And so you have to look at that, and then you've got the fuel pressure regulator that's in the circuit.
Yeah.
So if the pump is substandard pressure, then you got to look at the pressure regulator first.
Yeah.
So you have all of that. Rita, what part of town do you have a garage that you like, Rita?
No, because my son is actually a mechanic. He's worked for Ford Motor Company up on Frank Lloyd Wright. You know, he's worked for some top companies as a mechanic. But I was just trying to get some kind of clue as to what to tell him. You know, what all we've already done, what else can it be?
Okay.
But there is.
Well, this is what. Okay, hold on. There is something that you should do. You're not going to tell him anything. I would suggest that you not tell him. I suggest that you insist that you take him for a ride and show him exactly what it is the car is doing. That's what you have to do. You have to show him what it's doing. It's not a good people. I won't even let people come into the shop and tell us what to do on their car because it's just a recipe for disaster. Show me what it is. How many times does somebody come in and ask for an alignment, and you go drive it, and it's got a pull to the right, you swap the front tires, and the pull goes away, it's a radial pull. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't need an alignment. So just give me the symptoms, and let me fix it. But if your son is that level of a Ford technician, he shouldn't have any problem. But I think what's missing here is that somebody needs – you need to show somebody what to do. And then I got Bob 1 and Bob 2. You guys stay there. We'll be right back. Okie dokie, 43 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. It's Vicki Bell and Craig Bell from Bell Automotive on McDowell Road in the 101 in Scottsdale. Been around since Jesus was a baby. And both of them know the car business really, really well. Automatic Transmission Exchange in Phoenix is at 40th Street in Washington. And actually, Phil put the first transmission in Fred Flintstone's car. And so Phil's been around a long time. So if you have a transmission issue, then Automatic Transmission Exchange, we call it ATE, is located at 40th Street in Washington. And Phil's a good guy. And if you can duplicate the problem, he'll have somebody go drive with you. Bob, number one, how can we help you today?
Am I number one?
Yes, sir, you are.
Okay, yeah. Hey, I need to have a two-piece drive shaft, the center support bearing balanced. Preferably in the East Valley. Do you have any recommendations?
Phoenix Rack and Axle, but that's kind of central Phoenix.
Yeah. We could send him over. What's his name? Has got that Mesa Drive Shaft. I think I'd go to Mesa Drive Shaft.
Yeah.
Now,
is that called Arizona Drive Shaft?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Let me ask you a question. Why is that so? Hang on just a minute while Craig and I talk about this. Yeah. Why is that so hard?
It's
just a press on and press off.
Yeah, just press off. Yeah, but I don't know if he said he's looking for a balance thing. So, is he having a vibration?
Do you need it balanced or do you need the joint replaced?
I need it balanced. Do you take the universal joint out to balance it?
Two piece. I don't know how their setup is for their balancer. You know.
Okay.
They might have to.
But how did we get here, though, Bob? What happened?
It's a 49-year-old car, and the center support bearings have been getting trashed. And I don't know if the two shafts were set properly 30, 40 years ago. So I trashed another center support bearing. I ordered a new one, and I don't want to put it back in until the shafts are balanced.
Okay. I mean, they're probably gonna balance the shaft separately because I don't think they can. Well, yeah. I don't think they can balance the shafts together with that center support. That's something I don't know for sure, but I would guess not.
I've never run into that problem.
No.
When the center support goes bad, it's usually because the one of the joints went bad and it wobbled it out really bad.
Or a lot of the center supports have rubber around them, and the rubber just goes bad.
Yeah. So I'm not. I don't understand why you're jumping from a center. Yeah, how many center supports have you put in this 50-year-old car, 40-year-old car truck?
Three.
Well, that's not bad.
When you put them in, does it go down the road smoothly with no vibration on acceleration or deceleration?
Well, it's a little modified, but yeah, it does.
Okay. Oh, well, the little modified is the key there.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
So what do you have? What are you driving?
It's a 1973 Volvo P1800E.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, Arizona Drive Shaft, call them up and ask them. That's who I would send you to. But, I mean, frankly, I only use them once a year when we just are got a vibration that we can't fix. Yeah. But, just call Arizona Drive Shaft. We both know the owner, and Greg's a good guy.
But, long story short, I pulled it out a couple of weeks ago, and I marked it as you're supposed to so you can put them back in the same location. Mm-hmm. And stupid me, I cleaned them and cleaned the marks off.
But don't the U-joints line up all the way down the shaft, the north and south and east and west? The spline allows you to move them. But if you look from the back of the drive shaft on a piece to two pieces, if you put the trunnions all at 12 o'clock, they all should be at 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock, yeah, correct.
So anyway, well, give it a try, Bob. Thanks very much. Bob, number two, you're up next. How can we help you?
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
We bought a 2021 Chevy Equinox, and the owner's manual for normal service, it goes out to 150,000 miles without a transmission service, but under severe service, it says we have to change the transmission fluid at 45,000 miles.
Now,
what do you think, we are normal or severe?
Well, are you asking me about what's between your ears or your car?
No.
I'm teasing you. Let me ask you a question. Are you reading this out of the owner's manual?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay. I would imagine, first, I'm going to think out loud. Mm-hmm. He ain't pulling no boat with an Equinox.
Not anything of a substantial
nature. He's not pulling a two-axle trailer with an Equinox. He's not pulling a 10,000-pound tag-along.
Right.
And he ain't towing a fifth wheel either.
No.
So if you look at all of that stuff, and if in the next 50,000 miles, Bob, if you had a hot cup of coffee between your legs, how many times would you spill it the way you drive or your wife drives?
Probably zero.
Okay.
But that's quite a spread, isn't it, to go 150,000 miles with no transmission service and then to go to 45,000?
You're asking me to explain an owner's manual?
I think it's the fluid. The way the fluid's made these days is they've researched, the manufacturer and the fluid industries has researched this fluid to the nth degree, and they've got it down to a science. So if you're driving severe, which we're partially severe temperature wise, but
and
you're
does
not,
he live in the Phoenix area? Yeah. Does he go up to the snow? Is he in Flagstaff? You know,
but wait, that kind of covers everybody.
Yeah.
And here, you, Bob, if you want the answer, is this: go down to the General Motors and buy a can of the transmission fluid that you use. and then just poke a hole and put it in a little vial and put a plug on the end of it and smell it. And then every year, go smell the fluid. And if it smells just like the new stuff that you have,
yeah.
There's no reason. I really object to this kind of there is no reason why we should have two different numbers in there,
yes.
Other than the opportunity for us to sell you what could easily be a $300 or $500 transmission service at 45, as opposed to letting you go to 100 or 120. And so I know that the three of us here can smell a dipstick,
yeah.
And smell the fluid and look at the driver and look at the tires and look at the car and come to the conclusion on whether this can go 100K or not.
Yeah.
We're virtually everything in the last 5 years, even more, 10 years, has gone to 100K on fluids.
Right. Yeah.
But we have all of these shops all over the world in Arizona telling everybody, but this is Arizona, we need to cut those numbers in half,
right.
And I object to that.
Yeah.
I object to that. This is not the worst in the world.
No.
So it's an easy sales thing.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, Bob, I would just go the 100,000 or 120,000. I think I'd be more comfortable at 100.
Yeah, 150 is pushing it a little bit.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, 100's a good marker.
And it is. It is 100. So if you wanted we all agree that 100 would probably be the time we'd want to see you in there.
And that gives you a little in between both of the numbers. So
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All righty. Well, good luck to you. Thank you. And the new fluids now.
Yeah.
I mean, they are akin to having a $12 to $15 a gallon price.
Right.
And people complain about gas.
Right.
And you're looking at some of these fluids. And you're talking about some stuff out there that can cost $20 a gallon, $30 a gallon, $40 a gallon.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's unbelievable. The parts of what I am objecting to, and I'm seeing it a lot, is the newer model cars don't have any maintenance until 100K.
Yes.
They don't.
There's
nothing. Change the oil, rotate the tires, that's it.
Yeah.
So at 100, we might do your belts and your hoses and your fluids.
Right.
But in reality, there's a whole lot of fluids there that aren't going to do, like brake fluid. We can test it.
Right.
Moisture content, it's fine. We move on.
Right.
So you have all of these moving parts, but what I'm seeing is this. I'm seeing a premium oil change sold, okay,
mm-hmm.
with a 3,000-mile call.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's, I think it's $125 synthetic that's sold, but they're calling you back at 3,000 when they should be calling you back at 8 or 10,000.
Yes.
And that bugs the heck out of me because people don't get that. I get a premium oil change, but it could be a conventional oil, but they're charging synthetic prices. And they're calling you back for a conventional oil 3,000-mile service.
Right.
Come in and see me. But you see how that goes?
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw that the other day. I picked up a friend of mine, a retired policeman, and we picked it up in Payson. We picked up his Jeep. And so I was looking at his receipt, and it said premium oil. And it was one. Let me ask you this. What's your synthetic oil change? 5-quart system.
60.
About $60.
Okay.
60,
so
65.
We're seeing anywhere from 50 to 120
yeah.
for synthetic.
Right.
So I see the $93, and that ain't no conventional oil change.
No.
So I don't know where that 93 falls, but 93. But then I look at the sticker on the windshield; it's 3,000 miles.
Yeah.
So I'm a little concerned.
They want to keep bringing you back.
Well, what is a conventional oil change at your shop?
I think about $40.
Yeah. Okay. Well, 30. Yeah, 36 to 40. Yeah.
And we're going to use just because you're 35, 36. I'm going to bracket. So it seems that in reality it's somewhere between $25 and $45
yeah.
is a conventional oil change. Then semi-synthetic, 75, 80, 90, and then the full synthetics are typically 90 and higher than
right.
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So each one of them has a different oil change intervals. Have we got another caller?
Yes, we do. Say hello to Tom.
Tom, good morning. How can we help you?
Morning, Mark. How you doing?
Good. I'm behaving myself.
I pulled a coat. I have a 2006 Duramag, and it's saying that the thermostat is bad, and it's not getting the block. It's not reaching the temperature.
Okay, well,
they recommend changing because it's got two thermostats in there.
Well, there is no such code that says your thermostat's bad.
Well, it's temperature under.
Under or over.
Over, right.
Yeah, correct. But there could be a lot of reasons.
It's way under.
Way under, okay.
Okay, so here's what you need to do, in my opinion. In the morning, you get in and get your wife out of bed and put her in the car and tell her to start the car up and rev the motor up, hold the RPMs up to 2,500, and take your hand and wrap it around the top hose and see if it's water's rushing through it.
Yeah.
That's it. If water's rushing through it, you got a thermostat problem. It's stuck open. If the water's not moving and the upper hose doesn't get hot after about, I don't know, 5 minutes, it doesn't start getting warm. I mean, that's as simple as it is. Have we got water circulating or not? Do you know what the parameters are? Where's your gauge at this particular time? Where does your gauge ride? What is your temperature gauge ride?
It was running low. It was like 165, but then when I drove it last week, I mean, it did reach up to like 220 or so.
It needs to be north of 2.
Yeah.
But 145, 165, that's just ambient temperature on a Sunday or on a you know, a normal morning in a garage or something like that. Is this turning on the check engine light? Is that the part I missed?
Yes. I forgot to tell you that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The upper radiator hose is, I mean, if you wanted to diagnose this yourself, then just get in the habit of getting out there and wrapping your hand around the upper radiator hose, and it's called a handshake, and if you can't hold on to the 1001, 1002, 1003, you got to get out of it, then it's warm enough. We need the water oil to be over 212 so we can get the water out of the oil. So we turn it to a vapor and we suck it out of the engine. So that's the reason why we're running the motors at 220. So
now, is it going to affect it any if I continue driving it or not?
Well, you're going to get poor fuel economy because the temperature of the cooling system is going to be substandard. So, and you run a minor risk of sooting up the catalytic converter and using some additional fuel and causing some soot and carbon issues, depending on how long you do that. Is it possible the cooling fans are running all the time?
I couldn't tell you that.
Okay.
I haven't.
That's part of the checkout part of it is if we've got an engine that's not reaching operating temperatures, yeah, everybody jumps to the thermostats, but if the cooling fans are both running because the relay's melted, or if the air conditioning, when you apply air conditioning or defrost, and we turn on the cooling fans, there's all that kind of stuff going on. Timing. Exhaust plugged up is going to cause a temperature change. There's lots of things, but in your particular case, if you wanted to, you just order up the thermostat on the internet or whatever, and it'll tell you if you have one or two, and it'll give you the locations of either one. So,
okay.
The diagnostic on that at my shop would be somewhere between $50 and $100. It wouldn't be less than $50, and we'll call you if it's going to be more than $100. But basically, I'm figuring in the first 30 to 45 minutes, we're going to be able to know what it is. And I think I speak for I speak for your shop as
that's
well.
That's where the experience comes in.
Yeah, that's right. It's the older guys are a little quicker on the on figuring this out than the young kid. Anyway, thank you very much, Tom. Thank you. Good luck to you. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. There's five of them. We're going to be back with another hour of fun and frivolity. My name is Mark Salem. This is KKNT. And the phone number to call in right now, 602-508-0960. And we'll be back in about 6 minutes. Thank you, everybody. Let's see, 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, my name is Mark Salem, and I've got two friends with me right here, and I've got Craig Bell, and he is a derivative of Carol Bell, who is his father, who got into the gas station business in the 50s or 60s?
No.
60s.
Yeah.
Okay. And his wife, Vicki, and the two of them run Bell Automotive, and that's on McDowell Road, 8700 East McDowell?
Yes, correct.
Okay, 8700 East McDowell, and they've been around in that location.
We're right across the street from the old lamppost inn.
Okay. And everybody knows
everybody knows where that is.
That was built in the 50s, yeah. So.
Yeah, you got that right. So anyway, they're here helping me. They're flying wing with me today. I don't think we have anybody on the line. Do we, Gil?
We do not. All lines are open.
All the lines are open. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960 if you have a car question. And we're especially good when the wife says this and the husband says this and you want us to chime in and help you out with that discussion. We're really good at that, right?
See, this is my master. master sound technician sitting over here. So no.
And you know what I call Renee? My personal lie detector. So she'll correct me all the time.
We use Vicky at the shop for noises and smells.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
That's her technician name. She's in the, we put her in the passenger seat for noises and
schnoise.
So
and she sniffs and smells. Yeah, we'll just call her Snoise. Get Snoise out of here.
The best way for me to do that is I sit in the passenger seat. I literally close my eyes. Air AC's off, radio's off, and I'll pick up the sound all around me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so funny how many times we'll come back with 5 or 6 sounds that the customer doesn't even hear.
No, you're right. Yeah. And that's why for us, you have to take time to take us for a ride and show us the vibration,
correct,
show us what's doing. But you cannot take my technician to Tucson and back and hope it'll happen on the way there or on the way back. So you have to figure out how to make it happen and show us. And I fill in the blank, you guys. If you can figure out how to make it happen, that will save you how much dollars?
Oh,
dollars.
At least an hour of service, which is $110.
Okay, yeah. And that's why $100 is my number.
Yeah, save you $100. Yeah.
If you can teach us how to make it happen.
Right.
And be very specific.
Oh, and be specific. So anyway, talking about some other shops. Larry Harker's Autos at 38th Avenue and Indian School. Bob runs the shop. Ellen, his wife, runs the front counter. She knows more about cars than most of the hairy-chested guys that walk in there, just like your wife probably does, too. Nevertheless, if you're anywhere near 38th Avenue and Indian School, Larry Harker's has been around since 1967. So Bob and Ellen, they know how to fix cars. They have a young technician there named Jeremy, who's a family member. And Jeremy is probably one of the smartest and the brightest young men I've seen in a very long time. So that's Larry Harker's Auto Repair, 38th Avenue and Indian School. And who might we be on the phone there, Gil?
I would be Nick.
Nick, good morning. How can we help you?
Good morning. I have a service Dabilitrack light that stays on. It's a 2011 Tahoe PPV.
Okay.
Well, so I just want the light to go off. I don't give a darn about the Dabilitrack. But
right.
I don't know if it's disconnected or it's just not working or I don't know.
Okay. Well, more than likely you have a wheel sensor that's bad. Did you have new tires on it lately?
No. It's got the original tires on it, but the ABS light's not on.
There's no other lights on. No check engine. No.
Nope.
Okay.
Nothing else. I have a good scan tool. I put it on there, and I can't. There's no codes or anything like that.
Okay.
Okay. Well, your scan. Is it a scan tool or is it a code reader that you're looking at?
Scan tool. Scan tool, and it checks ABS as well. And
oh,
I've checked it all, and I don't find anything on it.
Okay. Yeah, well, you're doing the best. I mean, if you've got a scanner, then you should be able to drive that thing, and you should be able to sit on the passenger side, have your wife drive it, and you should be able to watch the rotation of all four tires. The Stabilitrack is
right.
Going to have to see the wheel sensors as well. So that's what we would do. If you've got that kind of a scanner, you spend a lot of money on that, but you should be able to look at serial stream data. So when you go out there,
right.
Not too long ago we had a Stabilitrack problem on a GM, but I don't remember it was a Tahoe. I think it was a truck. And the guy had a bad habit of cutting the corner right coming out of his driveway of his office, and the right rear wheel would come off the curb, spin, and then drop. And the Stabilitrack was having a tough time with that.
Oh.
So, no, we can't fix that for you, but with that scanner, you should. And now, one other thing you can do. Go behind Bash's on a Sunday morning. Take your scanner and plug it in. Have somebody ride with you and do figure eights in the parking lot. Tight figure eights. You can laugh. You want the rest of it or not?
Okay?
I'm not making a joke here.
Yes.
You're going to watch to see if one of the sensors goes away.
Yeah, for a tight turn.
For a tight turn. So that's when we see it the most. And so we see the signal go away. So you're going to monitor the rotation and the rotation value, however it's interpreted by your scanner, and you just do figure eights. And sometimes I went out not too long ago with Eddie, and I turned it all the way lock right, and I just did circles as fast as I could and as slow as I could. And he says, I'm losing the right rear. And so then we do the left one, and it didn't lose the right rear.
Okay.
And so we knew it was the right rear at that point. But anyway, that's all we've got to offer you, Nick. Good luck to you, buddy. Thank you very much. All righty. Kurtz Automotive is up on I-17 in Bell. And, you know, I had Kurtz on the air the other day, and it was one of the best shows we had, but I have never been in so much trouble after the show as I was with Kurtz. Anyway, there was a guy that called in, and I don't remember exactly what the situation was, but at the end of the day, I gave Kurt a company credit card for $100 to take care of his car for him.
Well,
I had made a comment about his wife, and I said, how long have you been married to that?
Oh.
And I said, everybody was laughing, and I said, which, but it was interpreted with a B.
Oh.
And I did. I have a tape. I'm running tape on everything. And so, anyway, Kurt said the guy came in. He said he was laughing. His wife was laughing. They thought it was really, really funny. They heard witch. They didn't hear the bitch word. But he didn't need anything. And Kurt dealt with his issue. But Kurt says, you still got $100 credit here. Mark's not taking it back. He has to do that to make sure that he doesn't get into trouble for calling your wife a name. But she was happy. She wasn't happy, but she was laughing. All righty. That's probably his wife. Who might that be, Gil?
It's not. It's Paul.
Paul, good morning, buddy. How can we help you?
Oh, hi. My name's Paul. Simple question. I have a 2008 Chevy Impala.
Okay.
Low mileage, about 80,000 miles is all, and I have had at least 4 incidents in the, 14 years now I've had the car, where an actuator is on the air conditioning is clicking when I turn it off. I've had it repaired a number of times. It's fairly expensive. My question is simple. If I do nothing and I keep turning it off and it clicks till it stops, what am I hurting?
There's been times, Blendor, is that what
Blendor,
you're thinking?
Blendor, yeah, okay. Or Modor.
Yeah, one or the other. Yeah. There's 2 vents underneath there, and we're going to use this flapper to send air to the defrost vents, the center vents, and the floor vents. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. And so what's happening is that motor is ratcheting. And off it, sometimes what happens is we go in there and we find half of a cheeseburger that somebody dropped down the vent. Sometimes we find that the door itself is warped and rubbing. Sometimes, literally, you have to just take the door out and kind of shave the edges a little bit to get it to where it opens and closes nicely. The motor's not the strongest. It ain't no V8 motor.
No, a little tiny plastic-geared motor.
Exactly. You can, there's a couple of things you can do. We can go in there and put a rivet on that door.
Yeah. I've done that for a few customers.
I have, too. Where do you want the air? That's it. Where do you want the air? And in the summertime, most everybody wants center vent.
Center
and
vent.
In the wintertime, they want defrost.
Riffrost.
And so, and there's been times, I'm embarrassed to tell you this, Craig, but I do know somebody who hooked a coat hanger through the glove box
for cold and hot.
Cold and hot, yeah. And so the answer is nothing. It's going to stick somewhere, but it's also possible that other controls will move it. So if you don't want to fix it, you're not costing yourself any more money. What it costs to fix it today is the same.
That was the answer I was hoping for.
Yeah, it's not going to cost you
more. It's just where the air is going to come out or the temperature it's coming out at, where that's the only thing it'll change. So
if you're happy with
everything
the air,
works good.
Go ahead.
The air works good off and on. The vents and the defroster and the heater, everything works fine. It just clicks.
Yeah, that's clicks.
And I can live with the click, I guess.
Yeah, just turn the radio up louder.
That's Craig's answer to everything.
Come on, Vicky, come on.
Sorry about that. That's
that is his that answer noise? To everything.
Whose answer?
Craig's. Well,
Craig's.
Hear that noise? Turn the radio off.
Hey. Thank you very much. All right. Appreciate your help.
All right, Paul.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're getting in a lot of trouble here.
2 minutes.
No, really and truly, the clicking noise is an aggravation.
Yeah, it is. It is. I've been in several cars, you know, where I get in there and I'm like, you didn't, but this doesn't bother you. And then other times I get in and it's not that bad. So,
and I think not too long ago, one of my guys said to me, if you play with the controls enough, you can get something and get it to stop clicking.
Yeah.
So maybe if you go to a blend where you're half cold and half hot, that'll shut it up. If you take it off of max air and run it on normal air, that'll shut it off. Yeah. So if you play with your controls, you'll find something, you should find something there that will shut that thing up.
Yeah, because the sensor in the motor is trying to it doesn't see what it wants to see, so it's sending the motor wherever.
And if
you can get that little sweet spot on that sensor, then it'll say, hey, yeah, I'm good now. So
okay, so now for people, I want you to picture the letter Y. Okay, the letter Y. So we have up on the top two stalks of the letter Y, we have these two doors.
Right.
And one of the left side of the Y is cold air, and the right side of the Y is hot air. So we have these two coming in, and the door is right there, and it's going to give you a blend of all cold or all hot or a blend of both. So the mode door sends it to where the location is, which is windshield, center vent, and floor. But then the blend door is the one that gives you hot, cold, or warm. Right?
Right.
How'd I do?
Yep. Good.
And so those are the kinds of things we're up against.
Right.
But it's easier now than it used to be, but digging into the dash still is not something we're going to let our oil change guy do. Yeah.
And that's up under the dash usually.
Yeah.
That's a hard position to be in.
Well, and you better know what you're doing because you can cause a lot more damage. And I'm sure you've had technicians that have gone up underneath the dash and come out, and maybe something's fixed, but we got three new problems we didn't have before. And I've had that.
Yeah.
And so you have to make sure that it's the gray-haired guys that are ones that are going to be fixing those cars. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, and there's five of them. And talk to Gil. He'll say hello. We'll be back. Well, welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, I should say, huh? 21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Vicki Bell and Craig Bell from Bell Automotive, and they're on Pima and McDowell, just west on the north side of the road.
Correct.
Pima is really like the 101.
Yeah, basically.
Right? Okay. So, and it wasn't that way always, because when I was a policeman, it was a two-lane dirt road half the time.
Yeah.
But we sure had to, we used to drag race our police cars. I think the statute of limitations is over. But we used to drag race our police cars on.
Well, I don't want to admit to it, but Pima's my best test drive run. Because between Thomas and McDowell,
nobody's there.
There's no building. There's a wall on the Scottsdale side, and whatever speed limit I feel safe with.
Well,
don't tell anybody.
You have to drive the car in the environment within reason.
Sure.
Actually, that road is a good road for finding noise because you can get the reverb off the wall. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Action Auto Repairs at I-17 in Deer Valley. Tom, I've known Tom since 1983 when he sold engine analyzers. and so he knows right from wrong. He has ASE-certified technicians. They're going to get the diagnostic right. They're going to repair the car. And when you leave, you're going to have the symptom, and the problem is going to be gone. And if you need an oil change, he can handle that as well. So Action Auto Repairs at I-17 in Deer Valley. His name is Tom. He's a good guy, and you can trust your car if you don't already have a car repair shop. Let's go, Richie. Richie, you're up next. How can we help you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
When do you make the decision to buy a new vehicle or to go ahead and repair the old vehicle that you love?
Oh, I can answer that. That's easy. Whenever my wife tells me to. Richie, we can't make that decision for you. Tell us what kind of car you have and tell us what's the matter with it.
Cadillac DeVille, and it's 6900 to get repaired.
Oh. Okay. What year Cadillac DeVille?
2000.
Okay. What does it need, a tranny or? An engine or what?
Transmission, cooling system, shock and strut. A list of things.
Okay.
Correction, let me see, AC discharge, correction, engine mount, front brakes, and a few other things.
Is this shop one that's been working on your car for the last many, many years, or is this one where you got a 995 oil change and they did an inspection?
Yes.
Okay. I'm always troubled with these kinds of calls, Richie, because you and I could spend the next 20 minutes talking about this, and I would say to you, hey, if you throttle up really hard from a traffic light on a Sunday morning when no one's around and you smash it to the floor and you let go of the gas real fast, is there any noise there? and I'm testing your engine mounts at that point. So if all of a sudden there's a clunk there, then yeah, you need an engine mount. So each one of the things that you have to have done is there's a symptom associated with it. And so those have to come together. We just can't automatically. Now, I think our industry has people in it that brings you in on a really cheap oil change, and then they just eat your wallet piece by piece, and they go through your car with a fine-tooth comb. But let me ask you this. Would this car, if I came with you, could we drive to Los Angeles and back in your car?
Yes.
Okay. And how much was, I'm not even going to, didn't you say like $6,000?
$6,900.
Okay. Yes, well, first of all, that won't even pay the sales tax probably on a new car. Yeah. So you might as well just go ahead and fix it. What part of town do you live in?
Right here in Avondale.
Avondale? I think yes. I would take that list to Auto, can you go up to Sun City area? Would you have to go up to Grand?
Is that... I've been there before.
Okay.
Not often, but I've been there before.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
There's a repair shop up there called Auto Dynamics. Auto Dynamics. And the young man that runs it is Derek Nyday, and I really like him. And I think you could do that, or you could use S&S Tire, and you could take it to an S&S Tire in Avondale, and you could say to them, would you look this over and tell me whether you agree that this is something I need to spend money on?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to think about, you said Auto Dynamics?
Auto Dynamics. Yes, sir. And it's on Grand Avenue. Let me look here just real quick because I have that somewhere around here. Oh, here it is. It's on the north side of Grand and 99th Avenue. Grand and 99th Avenue. And it's called Auto Dynamics. And ask for Derek. And just tell him, I got this list of stuff that needed for my car. How much would you charge me to look it over and to tell me I agree with this or I don't agree with that? That's what I'm looking for.
Okay. And I have Derek's name. Did you say Grand and what?
99th Avenue.
And 99th Avenue. Okay.
Yeah, it's north of Grand. And it's 99th Cross is there. So it's on the north side of Grand, on the west side of 99th Avenue, northwest corner, 99th Avenue and Grand. Okay?
Yeah. The only reason I called in is because I really loved to ride in this vehicle and to go ahead and get buy me a little cooped-up vehicle would be kind of hard at my age.
Richie, I don't blame you at all. I wish you were closer to my shop or Craig's shop because he's in southeast Scottsdale and I'm in way down near Mountain Park Ranch in Ahwatukee. But really and truly, I'm going to bet you an oil change. Okay, I'm going to bet you $50, and you don't have any risk here that somebody's going to look at that and find out that half of what you've been told is not true. And Richie, you know that there's not a lot of stuff for free. So when they have a $995 oil change, they're just bringing you in so they can graze on your car. Okay? Because the oil costs more than what they're charging you for the oil and the filter and all that kind of stuff. So it's really to draw you in, and then they say to the technician, some say to the technician, go figure out where we can, clip him for $2,000, $5,000, whatever. But then you say that you would take me to California in your car, and you got $6,900 worth of work that needs to be done on it, according to them. One and one doesn't equal two in this in this situation. Does that make sense, Rich?
Yes, it does.
Okay. All right, well, good luck, Rich. And my email address is mark, with a K, at marksalem.com. Salem like the cigarette. Mark at marksalem.com. And if you need more help, I'll help you. Okay?
I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Richie. I think what bothers me the most about our industry is when you read the ads. You know, you've got all these ads, but in the fine print, there's so much there.
There's so much they won't do if you read the ad.
Oh, and three tires, this is the one that just wads my panties up tight. Three tires for the price of four. But then there's 4.5 paragraphs of explanation about that. and you can't do this and you can't do that, and you have to do this in conjunction with this coupon and that coupon and this and then and then and then, and it's all these things.
Very complicated.
And really and truly, none of us are going to sell you four tires for the price, or we're going to give you four tires for the price of three. We're going to work it out to where we get paid for the tire, no matter what. It just bothers me that our industry, and it all has to do, and I think you'll both agree, with the long service intervals the newer cars have, we're not seeing the volume of maintenance work that we normally see.
Maintenance or repairs.
And we're starting to create needs for that.
Yeah.
We're going to flush your injectors. We're going to flush your windshield washer lines. We're going to clean your nozzles. And we're going to flush your wallet. Oh, did we say that? So 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We've got five lines open right now, 602-508-0960. For Craig and Vicki Bell and Mark Statham, we'll be back. Can we hear one another? Can we hear one another? I guess we can. Can you talk?
I can talk.
I can talk.
All right. Good, good, good. And, you know, sometimes I push the wrong button, and then Gil gets mad at me, and then he hears bad words, and then I get called into the office on Monday morning. And stuff
we
like
get
that.
Called, Mark.
What's that?
We get called.
Yeah, really, Gil. Thanks. Thanks. That's Gil. I'll give you a cell phone here in just a minute, and you can talk to him about radio. Anyway, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, 602-508-0960. We'd like you to join us. You're more than welcome, but Michael has. So, Michael, how can we help you today?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I have a 2000 Buick Century with 130,000 miles on it, and the brake line needs to be flushed real bad. I was wondering, could I... No, I have an appointment for Tuesday. I can stay home for those 3 days. I have that option. But I was wondering if I could go up and visit my mom in the group home and drive back and put a few miles on it. Would it do any harm?
Wait a minute. Tell me why the... What?
You have a brake pedal problem or not stopping? Or
tell me more about the problem.
Yeah.
Well, I'm reading in a magazine or something that the brake fluid should be changed once in a while, and so I went into my friend's shop, and he stuck the litmus paper in the, I guess you call it the master cylinder, and he said, yes, it needs to be changed, and I said, okay, I'll make an appointment. So I was just wondering if it'd hurt to drive it around town for the next 3 days, or if I should just
it should be perfectly fine to drive around for the...
Go ahead.
Let me
get the shovel out. Go ahead. I'm just digging. Go ahead.
I mean, the litmus, that's telling you the different aspects of the fluid and what it's in and what it has and what it's causing. But in Arizona, you'd have no idea how less a time that you need to change brake fluid compared to anywhere where there's moisture.
I'm gonna side with Craig. I don't use the litmus paper test. There's a variety of other, and I'm interested in the moisture content.
Right.
And so let me ask the question. Let me change the question. Vicki, how many times have you guys fixed a problem by simply flushing the brake system? There's no air in the system. This is, you're gonna fix a problem. How many times has a car come in on a tow truck, Craig, and it had a brake problem, and all you did was flush the brake system?
Zero.
Yeah. So the answer to your question, Michael, is I think inadvertently and accidentally you've been scared. But I'll tell you what, if you want to go visit your mother, come get me, and I'll go with you. And I promise not to hold on to the dash and scream every time we come up to a traffic light. Is that okay?
But if it is dirty, would it hurt to...
No, not at all. Because most cars have a little bit of dirt and dust in them anyway, and it doesn't affect any of the, you know, the
performance
of the braking.
And not only that is here's the deal. Your car, you said it was a 2000 Century, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, 21 years old.
Okay, 21 years old. Craig, there is no way we're going to flush out all the debris in that thing. It's going to be it's going to look like iced tea within 6 months after we put fluid in it.
There's always that residuals on the backside.
Exactly.
So that's our shop car, is the 2000.
We have a 2000 brake sensor.
I drive it every day.
Vicki, How many times have you flushed the brake fluid?
None.
Never?
And I don't have any
He's
issues with the brakes.
He's trying to kill you. He is trying to kill you. He has a new girlfriend. I can tell by looking at him. So, no, Michael, please. I would send my grandkids with you. I want to put you in a comfort zone.
Yeah, you'd be okay.
You've been Two scared, minutes. And I disagree with that philosophy. Yeah. And I want to tell you something. I've got 130,000 miles on my Dodge truck, and I'm hauling big horse trailers and tractors and all that kind of stuff. And my brake fluid looks like it's not a weak tea, but it's not chocolate either. Yeah. And I'm not worried right now.
Right.
But I haven't done a front brake job yet. Because I'm on the highway all the time.
Okay.
So as soon as I do the front brakes, we're going to go ahead and dump the fluid and do it. But the answer to your question, Michael, is don't be scared of that.
No.
You can have it done whenever you want, but you can still do what you want to do. All righty. Have we got anybody else?
Oh, lines are open.
Okay. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Our industry is in flux because of all the different ideas about what we should do to our cars. But you made it easy for
One
me,
minute.
Vicki, because you say I have the same car and you've never flushed it.
Yes.
And you own a shop with your husband. And so your comfort zone should be his comfort zone.
Well, I drive customers around. You know, if we had an issue with it or for safety issue, we certainly wouldn't be driving it.
Craig, what is the symptom for a brake fluid that's old?
There's no symptom. Absolutely no symptom. I think, you know, like you had said, it's the times of the cars. It's what they've been told on the internet when somebody told them, you know, we need to flush this, we need to flush that. I think we're running into that. There's not as much repair, so they're looking for more things to, I mean, it's not going to hurt anything. It's just going to cost you money.
Do you want to get up on my desk and dance a little bit more? I'll clean it up for you. The newer model cars don't need.
Right.
Their maintenance schedule is 1/5, 1/6, 1/7 of the cars that we've been used.
Yeah.
So it is true that you'll agree that we're not working on nearly as many cars because the maintenance schedules and the owner's manuals are quite different and quite longer. So this creates a problem for those guys that have Taj Mahal shops that have $15,000 and $20,000 a month in rent payment. So, yes, right now our industry is in flux, but this is one of those things that – So the last question to both of you, and you're going to answer it on the other side of the break because I'm already late on it, is how many times has a car been brought in because the brake fluid was dirty and it caused a problem? And I'm going to tell you, of all the years I've been a mechanical expert for the legal arena, for lawyers and police departments and all that kind of stuff, I've never seen a brake failure related to the brake fluid looking like iced tea. Yeah. Never.
Never.
So the moisture is different.
Right.
That can cause some problems. Corrosive and air is clearly different. But as far as the after effects, I've never seen a car crash that was blamed on the fact that the brake fluid was iced tea.
Yeah.
So 602-508-0960. Well, welcome everybody. And we're going to put everybody's microphone on, and then we're going to turn off all the speakers, and we're having too much fun on our end. You know, for whatever reason, we're misbehaving as much as we should not be. Strictly Diesel is up on I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. If you have a diesel, if you have a Chevy, Ford, or Dodge diesel, then Strictly Diesel would be a good place for you to keep in your mind, because when you have a problem nobody else can fix, Nate can. Nate from Strictly Diesel is one of the best guys I know with respect to diesel service and repair. But he does foreign and domestic like diesel trucks. He doesn't do the big dogs. But he's just south of the I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. And he also has a really nice website with lots of diesel kind of gizmos and fancy air filters and stuff like that. And I've spent some time on his website as well. So Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. Richard, good morning. How can we help you?
Good morning. Thanks for your great show.
Well, thank you.
I'm one of those people that got went in for an oil change. They said $5,000 will fix your car. And it was a 94 Camry with 280,000 miles, and I decided that, you know, it wasn't worth it. I mean, I think the blue book on it was $250 if you tow it away.
Yeah.
So it was still running, but I decided to get a new car. So I got a 2020 Civic. Happy with the car, but I just wanted to ask you your current view on oil changes. Back in the day, we changed the oil at the first 1,000 miles after break-in, then we would change it at 3,000 thereafter. We're up to about 2,500 on the Civic now, and I still have the old instinct to go in and change the oil at 3,000. I don't care what the book says. Why not change it more often? What are your thoughts?
You want this first, or do you want me to take it?
You know, I also talk. I mean, I'm a little different mindset on the oil change. If you love the car and you don't mind spending a couple bucks more every so often, a little quicker on oil changes, you're going to avoid a lot of engine problems way down the road.
Okay, I want to take the other side of that.
Okay.
You can spend all the money in the world you want, and your water pump's still going to fail.
Yeah.
and you're going to have problems with that car. And that car doesn't have the ability to love you or to keep track of all your favors. And if you were to add fancy fart smell juice to the air filter, it's not going to love you anymore. Okay. Thank you for letting me tease you.
See, my comfort level would be to side on the air of caution. You know, if you don't buy new cars very often, like we don't, you know, I want my cars to last as long as possible. So if your comfort level is changing at 1,000, 3,000, 5,000, then do that if that's what makes you feel good.
Do you know how many dead dinosaurs there are out there because of you? The dinosaurs are all over. And I agree.
Okay, funny people. But
I'll answer your. I'm going to answer your question. What does it call your 20? Is it a 6,000, a 7,000, an 8,000? What's the owner's manual say?
I am going to confess, I don't actually know. I'm sitting in my other Civic and don't have the book to look at it real quick.
I am an oil expert, okay? I've been challenged in court. The synthetics are supposed to go between 7,500 and 15,000 miles. And Mercedes actually goes deeper than that now. So I'm real comfortable. I do put synthetics in my truck. I got a diesel truck, and I run it pretty hard, and I'm running between 10 and 13,000 on an oil change. And I'm perfectly happy with that. If it's your motor's not going to love you any more or any less, if you're going to use a synthetic and change it at 3,000 miles, let me tell you what I think you should do. I think you should go to a conventional and go to 3,000-mile oil changes. That's fine.
Yeah.
Just go conventional because it's cheaper. The convention. How much is a conventional oil change on your shop?
36 to 40.
And 40, and I'm going to go $10 one way or the other.
Yeah.
Okay, so 30 to 50 is our industry standard. That's a conventional. He can do that. What's your synthetic oil change on a 5-quart?
Oh, 60 to 90.
Okay.
Know, depends on the amount of quarts and which one, which specific.
Yeah.
Weight of oil.
Weight of oil.
Okay. And for us, it's most everybody's north of 100 now, so we're at 1 to 130.
Okay.
Just depends.
Yeah.
So there's a big difference in the cost. But you can, now, my mother, I've got her on synthetic because she does about $8,000, $9,000 a miles a year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can just change it at the beginning of the summer, and she can go all year long.
Right.
And that really works good for her and me. So, but if the people on Ahwatukee, they just do 3,000 miles a year. I've got them on conventional oil. They come in once a year. I'm fine.
Yeah.
So it really matters on your how many miles a year you're driving and use an oil and an interval that matches what you've got. Does that make sense?
Okay. Correct. So final question, bonus question. I understand that a lot of what the discussion is about how long to, you know, what the intervals are for change have to do with the oil breaking down, changing its chemical properties. My theory, and the one I learned from my dad way back in the day, is part of what you're doing when you change the oil is you're getting the junk out of the crankcase. I mean, that's part of what's happening. It's not just the oil's characteristics, but it's the physical matter that's in suspension there.
No. No, it's really never been that way, but I know that my dad said that.
Yeah, filter technology is so much higher than they used to use old toilet paper rolls to filter sometimes. So.
But even then, the Fram filter, the FL1, which is what we put in the Fords when I was a kid in 1968, the idea that we have all this trash that's being circulated is it violates the science of a filter.
Yeah.
Every square drop of oil in your car that's circulated goes through the filter, and unless there's a significant difference between the pressure in and out, which is cold weather, and it'll bypass the filter initially until we get the oil warmed up. But that's Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's not Arizona. So to answer your question, draining the oil, here's another thing. Water boils at 212. So if we don't get the old operating temperature up to 220, then we're going to have water. So I'll go along with your hypothesis that way, that if you're just, if mom goes to the grocery store and never really warms up the car, then yes, changing the oil would be a good idea because of the moisture inside. Yes. I would agree with that.
For the water. Okay. Yes. That makes sense. Yeah. Makes total sense.
Yep. Okie doke.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Hey, thanks.
Take care.
Thank you very much. All righty, Jason, you're up. How can we help you today, Jason?
How you doing?
Good.
Good. I much appreciate your show, but I do have a question. Do you know of a shop that can align a lowered car?
Yeah. Yeah, what part of town are you in?
67th and Happy Valley, way north here.
67th Avenue?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, boy. Give me just a second here. Give me just a second. I want you to send me an email, because before I mention their name, I want to call them and ask them. What kind of car is it? Tell me what it's got. What do you got?
It's a 94 BMW 318i, and we got the monster rims on it, got it dropped down a little bit, and from what I understood, they couldn't do it because of the wheel alignment sensors couldn't fit between the tire and the fender.
Okay. All right. Well, I know that I think what I'd like you to do, email me, mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. Email me your name and phone number and give me the information you have, and I'll call a couple of places up in the Northwest. The only other option, and I rarely do this, is I know that we do that all the time because we're the ones that lower the cars and we're the ones that put the big tires and wheels on them. We're the ones that are raising the four-wheel drives up 14 feet in the air, and we know
how. Exactly.
And the answer to your question is that we're going to use the specifications for your car, but we're just going to basically get the tire to stand straight up and straight down, and we're going to put about a degree or two or three of caster in it so it returns to center. So when you turn the steering wheel and you turn right, you let go of the steering wheel and the steering wheel straightens up. That's called caster. So we're going to give you 2 or 3 degrees, and on your toe, we're going to, depends on if you're mean to us and you use bad words, we're probably going to give you like 10 degrees toe, and that'll wipe out the front tires real fast for you. So, I know that our shop is Salem Boys, and you would talk to Alan, my son, Salem Boys,
yes,
and he does the performance side. And
awesome. I appreciate that.
He does that, and we can get your BMW on the rack without scraping the bottom off of it.
Nice. Okay.
Okay.
Like I said, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, you bet. You would not believe some of the cars we've built for people that insisted on building them. I see no real reason to put a car on the ground where the body's dragging about 4 inches above the ground, because speed bumps are a death, you know.
Yeah.
But it was that way for a long time when I was younger, but now that's coming back.
Right.
The cars that really ride low and aerodynamic, and there's a lot of merit to that. Yeah. Those are really nice cars, but it's not uncommon for them to spend perhaps $5,000 and $6,000 and $7,000 for a set of tires and wheels and adapters, and then to have them balanced, and then they want nitrogen, and then on top of that, you've got to do wheel sensors. So you have all those different issues within that. But then again, we did that when we had 57 Chevys. We did the same thing they're doing now. So anyway, all righty, we don't have anybody else, do we?
Nope, lines are open.
Okay, lines are open. Well, just to recap, Vicky handles the money at Bell Automotive. And she also handles Craig and all the people at the front counter. And she also handles the technicians. Mm-hmm. So really, in the hierarchy of things, you answer to her, Craig, right?
No, I just work out back.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. I get it. See, you guys are the second or third generations behind us.
Yeah.
I mean, your dad and your mom, they work together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whitey and Barb.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, Jim's dad, Atkinson, did his wife ever work there?
I don't know that one. I know that Jim and his dad worked.
Yeah, Jim and his dad did. Yeah. And so you look at a lot of people in the Scottsdale, the Tempe, and the East Phoenix area. They were teams.
Family units.
Family unit. Thank you. That's a good way to put it. Family unit.
It'll sorry to say, it'll be finished with us because my daughter's in the educational system and what doesn't want to have anything to do with automotive. So,
which doesn't want to have anything to do with us.
don't feel like you're the one. Right? I'm telling you right now, we could turn this into a Dr. Phil show in about 2 seconds. but it seems in our
two
age
minutes.
Group. That the alienation of kids as they get older and go left or right, yeah. north or south, east or west, it does that. But you know what? I remember talking to my mom about that, and we did it too.
Yeah,
we did.
In a different way.
In a different way. And so, yeah, that's it. So anyway, I know Bell Automotive, and I've known you guys for at least the 40 years, at least 40 yeah. years. And I always liked your dad because his name was Carol.
Right.
And I thought you had to be a stud to be named Carol. it's kind of boy named Sue.
Yeah.
Isn't that it?
Johnny
Actually,
Cash.
I think as my dad grew up, he was the in between the two, he was a negotiator. So he, mm-hmm. I think he learned that as a kid, you know.
Well, and his name is spelled the C-A-R-O-L. It's not the masculine spelling. So, okay. Yeah, he took a few hits.
That's okay. He's tough enough. Yeah. Yeah. And I always respected him, and I'll tell you what I liked about Carol. He was an even-tempered guy,
yes.
but you didn't necessarily think you were going to be able to argue with him and get him to go your way.
Right.
No, it stood firm.
And when I had lunch and breakfast, yeah. All the time down at Mag's Ham Bun, and there was another restaurant there on 2nd Avenue or 2nd Street yeah. that we used to go to yeah. all the time, all of us old guys.
Pishkies?
I think it was.
Yeah, Pishkies.
I think it was Pishkies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was all the guys, Bill Bridwell, your dad.
My dad, Mark Salem,
Y.E. Almgel, Jim Winters, all those guys. All righty, mark@marksalem.com is my email address. If you'd like to have a question answered, that's the easiest way to do it, mark@marksalem.com. Or you can call Craig or Vicky at Bell Automotive, and they can help you out as well if you live in that Scottsdale area or anywhere in that area. So until then, I'll see you next Saturday here, 10 to 12. We're talking about cars, and we're going to give you the best advice we can, in spite of the fact that you don't want us to.